After a lifetime of researching the dynamic and enigmatic world of light entertainment, I've decided to ditch my notebook and meet the people who inspire me. What makes them the people they are? How do they feel about the show business landscape in which they find themselves? And in a world where anyone can be a star, is there still a need for performers who have universal appeal? Come with me on a journey of discovery as I get a unique insight into Britain's favourite stars with a little help from my glamorous assistants. Yeah, well, I say glamorous, more like hazardous. And of course, we'll have a bit of fun along the way.
In a career spanning 40 years, Gardner, presenter, poet and novelist, Alan Titchmarsh has become one of Britain's leading broadcasters. Getting his first television break on the BBC's long-running current affairs series Nationwide in 1979, Titchmarsh was quick to make a name for himself and was promptly put forward to present BBC magazine show Pebble Mill at One. Embracing the DIY revolution of the mid-1990s, Alan presented the garden renovation programme Ground Force alongside Charlie Dimmock and Tommy Walsh. A move to ITV in 2007 saw Alan return to the chat show format for his self-titled afternoon show. I was interested to learn about the magic of broadcasting and get his take on a remarkable television career. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alan Titchmarsh. Let's go back to the very beginning. Your first big break came in 1979 when you became the gardening expert on BBC's Nationwide.
That's right.
What were your first impressions of live television?
It was astonishing. I'd done a bit of amateur theatre. That's where I met my wife. And I came home and I said, it's amazing. All these cameras sort of skidding around the floor. And it gave me a great buzz. It was good. I've always been passionate about gardening and about sharing my passion. So that was one way of doing it, was on television. But I haven't accounted for the sheer excitement of it, really. I mean, you try not to think about all the millions who were watching, but the studio atmosphere in a live programme is really quite electric, and I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Josh says, yeah, the first time he became familiar with your work was on BBC One lunchtime magazine show Pebble Mill. How far removed was this from your horticultural journalism previous?
Well, I'd done horticulture gardening on telly, and daytime television was about to start. And the man who was tasked with starting up daytime television said to me, and I really remember him asking, he said, have you ever thought of doing any other television rather than gardening? And I said, no. And he said, well, you should. I think you'd be quite good at it. And I thought, I'll have a go then. So, in fact, it was a year before Pebble Mill, I did a programme called Open Air, which came from Manchester, which was an hour and a half of live viewers' feedback, sort of late morning. So that was my start. I did a year of that, and then I was offered Pebble Mill and thought it offered me much more opportunity to do all kinds of things rather than just viewers' feedback on programmes the previous night. So, yes, I started that in 1987. I went to Pebble Mill, and I was there for 10 years, to 1996.
And how did you find it sort of adjusting to be able to cope with the range of guests that sat on the sofa?
Well, I've always been interested in people, the broad range of interests. And to sit down with anybody from a chimney sweep to a Hollywood star was challenging, and to get interesting conversation out of them and share it with a viewer. So it's just, from my point of view, it was the most ideal scenario. It's what I still do today. And it's what I do when I'm not on the television, just talking to people and asking questions. My wife frequently tells me off if we're out to dinner. She said, will you stop grilling the person next to you? No, it's not that really. I'm just interested.
Yeah. So, and then obviously you had your self-titled venture with ITV Afternoon. How did you think that time on Pebble Mill sort of helped to inform that?
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, 10 years of doing Pebble Mill live meant that, live TV was my milieu, really. That's what I did. And I still love it the best, not least because they can't make you do it again. but also, you're in total control, not from a controlling point of view, that you can dictate pitch and pace and rhythm, and you can move it along when it's a bit slow or a bit slack, or you can throw a bit of a spanner in the works to liven up your guest. Nothing unkind, but just, you know, you're in charge. You can create, it's more creative, really, on live television rather than a programme you record where you're at the mercy of the editor who then chops it about and puts it in whatever order and keeps which bits they want and they don't want, which might not be the bits that I want.
No.
So, but it was really, and to have, you know, your own programme and do it from an hour live from start to finish is a real treat.
Josh just asked, on Pebble Mill with Gloria Hunniford and Ross King, did you struggle at all with continuity, where it's three quite different styles?
No, not really. I think you do your own thing and hope that you all offer different things, but you can nevertheless blend together. So, and I think that's the great thing, sort of like gardening, lots of different gardening presenters. But the fact that, you know, some people like some more than others, that's great because you've got a broader audience then. And you know that not everybody's going to like you. So I think variety keeps everybody fresh.
Yeah, great. So 1997 now, launched the Gardening Makeover show Ground Force alongside Charlie Dimmock and Tommy Walsh. What were your first impressions of the show, and how were they? How was it able to echo the DIY revolution of the late 1990s?
Well, it came in the recession, and I think it was at a time when people decided they weren't going to move house, it was too expensive. So coincidentally, it was absolutely at the right time where people could improve what they had. When I was asked to do it and do a garden makeover in 2 days, I said, well, it can't be done. And they said, oh, is that it then? I said, no, you can't. Gardens take years to make. You know, you can't do it in 2 days. So they said, well, you couldn't achieve anything in 2 days then. So I said, well, I wouldn't say you couldn't achieve anything, but you could. And they said, well, will you have a go and see what you could do in 2 days? So I said, well, all right then, but I'm a bit reluctant, and the rest is history. I mean, just the team worked really well. The chemistry was very good between us. And the public absolutely lapped it up. I mean, 12 million viewers. We were second only to EastEnders on BBC One. So it was a great design. The work we did was good. You know, we didn't cut corners. We did it properly and proved to me, as much as to anybody, that you can do quite a bit in 2 days.
Excellent. Your gardening connections continued as well when you replaced Jeff Hamilton on Gardener's World. How daunting was it to take over such an iconic series?
It was very difficult. It had been planned that I would take over the following Easter. Jeff had done it for about 16 years and said, you know, it had enough. We knew one another. We were great mates. We used to, you know, do quite a lot together. I used to write for Jeff on his magazine under a pseudonym. And I was planning to take over in the Easter. He died, sadly, quite suddenly in the August. So I had to take over the last sort of 6 or 8 weeks of programming, which was very difficult. I mean, I'm not Jeff. Jeff wasn't me. And so I got stuck in, did those last 8 weeks, and then started the new series in 1987 and thought, I've just got to be me. Yeah. So it was quite difficult. People were very understanding. They realised I'd lost a mate as well as we're having to take over his programme. Yeah. But it was a great honour doing Gardens World, you know, the flagship programme on BBC Two. So I just got stuck in and did 7 years.
Lovely. So, as well, for 30 years, you presented BBC coverage of Chelsea Flower Show. Obviously, apart from the obvious, your extensive horticultural knowledge and experience, how important did you think it was to have that experience as a broadcaster to preside over such an event?
It was a delight. And I've been going to Chelsea Flower Show every year since 1969. So to be a part of it and to share the pleasure of being there with viewers was great fun. And 30 years is a damn good run. You know, I was lucky to do it for that long, really. So it was a delight. And again, live every day for a week. Well, when I started doing it, it was a one programme. And then it moved to two programmes. But it was, you know, a few years before it started being stripped across the week. But that was great because you could do things in more depth. So I really enjoyed my Chelsea years.
And then after that, you moved back to ITV and you did a garden makeover show, Love Your Garden.
Well, Love Your Garden's still going. Yep. And the lovely thing about that is it makes gardens for people whose lives will be altered by them, whether it's, you know, amputees or people with mobility issues, older people, people who've suffered bereavement or people with terminal illnesses. It's opening up part of their territory that they was inaccessible to them before. And we know it really does change lives, and I love doing that.
Is it a little bit of a nod to Ground Force?
Well, it's making gardens. So in a way, I suppose, I mean, it doesn't intend to take over. Ground Force, we did gardens for anybody and everybody. Yeah. This is very much predicated on people who really need them.
Yeah.
And whose lives will be altered.
Excellent. Like Josh, you've just released a book, The Scarlet Nightingale.
That's right.
Could you sum it up for us in a sentence?
It's about a woman who's born in 1928, lived in Devon. Family tragedy means she has to move into London to live with an aunt. And then war breaks out, and she was brought up by a governess who spoke French. So she's a fluent French speaker and decides she wants to do her bit. So she ends up joining the SOE, the Special Operations Executive, in occupied France, and becomes a secret agent. Mm. And she falls in love, but it doesn't look as though she's falling in love with the right man. And so it's a love story, but very much set in during the war and in occupied France. And it's all about what happens to her.
Is writing something which is a love of yours?
Have to do it. I mean, I have to write. I write almost every day, whether it's a gardening column or fiction or a book about, you know, royal gardens or whatever. And The Scarlet Nightingale is my 70th book.
Wow.
And I'm 70 next year, so it's really rather neat.
Yeah,
I didn't plan it that way.
No, but it's satisfying.
Yes.
So with all that said, looking back at your career, what would you say your proudest achievement is?
Being a father and grandfather, really. I've got two lovely daughters, one of whom has now got two small sons and the other one's got two small daughters. So I've got two boys and two girls, 6, 5, 4 and 3. They live 10 minutes away from me. I'm still married after 43 years, which is a miracle.
Yeah.
So I've got a very tolerant wife.
Yeah.
And family life and close friends are the most important thing of all in life for me.
Lovely. And so what's next for Alan Titchmarsh?
Another series of Love Your Garden next year. More Secrets of the National Trust, which is this nice programme I've been doing for Channel 5, where I get to look at National Trust houses and some of their secrets. And another novel in a couple of years' time. I do a novel every other year. So enough to keep a man of my age going.
Yeah, certainly. Brilliant. Okay. Well, that's all the questions that we've got for you. So thanks very much. A big thank you to our guest for being the subject of another Beyond the Title interview. If you like this, why not browse the website and see if there's anything else that takes your fancy? Don't forget to like our Facebook page to receive updates of forthcoming interviews and to see more information about me and what I do. Thanks again, and hopefully see you next time for another Beyond the Title interview.